Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg. You're right here in my home, and I appreciate you being here. And just by the way, we are in, I think, one of the best cities in the world, Houston, Texas. Right here, I'm down here at the Medical Center, and I don't think you can see actually the colors, but the sun is going down right here behind me. And I was just looking at that during the intro, and wow, it is a beautiful pinkish blue fading down as the sun's going down behind the medical center here in Houston, Texas. And it's just an awesomely hot day, but it's beautiful, beautiful day. We had some thunderstorms just a few minutes ago. It just thundered and lightning and act like it was going to pour, but I don't believe a drop of rain fell here anyway. But good to have you with us tonight. You are looking at the only person on the show this evening. So you're all stuck with me. So I'm going to talk for approximately 55 minutes straight and without taking a breath. And hopefully we'll have some things to say. But I just started jotting some things down when I found out that during the summer, it's tough trying to get a guest on the program. So what I want to do tonight, if I could just share with you from my heart and then invite you. If you want to call in at 888-627-6008 and jump in and ask me a question, have a comment. Hopefully you won't tell me off and things of that order. I've never had anybody do that before, but just call in and join in. And I'd love to talk with you, help me fill up this hour. But during these summer months, it seems like it's been tough to find people that aren't traveling that have an hour. And when I try to talk to people on different coasts, sometimes it's later than what they want to be on. So the beautiful people of BBS Radio will let me pre-record. And we've done that recently. And I have a couple people that I'm going to try to squeeze in the next week or two that's on the other side of the world to be able to share with you. But tonight, and I believe next week, you're going to be stuck with me. Unless you have a story to share and you want to contact me and we'll get you on. I have reached out with new invitations for people being on the program, and I'm not trying to be picky or ultra sensitive to make sure it's deep quality and all that. I look for genuine people with genuine hearts that wants to share their story. And in that sharing of the story, I personally believe it is paramount that they have a journey that has landed them somewhere now in a place of healing, a place of hope, and a place of anticipation that we can endure this. I love hearing all the stories. And when you travel the country and speak to the thousands of people that I do, I hear a lot of stories before and after my presentations. And some of them are just so vivid and so raw, but you can tell they're not at the place to be able to share that yet. They're still needing the process to take place. So if you're one of those people that would like to share and you feel like you've got something that is worth sharing, a tool or a tip, or survivor strategy, a roadmap that has helped you through all the journey that you went on. Because I think one thing about this program, and I've said it since day one, and I was just talking to Thomas before we came on the air at the radio station, and next week will be our 6th anniversary. So we've been doing this for almost 6 years, and next week maybe we'll celebrate, do something with that. I'll have a Twinkie here or something, and we'll light a candle or something. But next week, join in as we look back at the last 6 years and some of the best guests, and talk about that if we don't have another guest scheduled. But we're celebrating 6 years, and in that 6 years, I've seen so many people that have come on that I've become friends with, even though it may just be a passing. You just kind of meet them, agree with them, accomplish some things with them, share the good and the bad and the ugly with them, and let them share with you. And then they go on their way, and I go on mine. And then there's other ones that have come on the program that have stayed and been committed to this program and me committed to their journey. And one was just one we had a couple weeks ago. Kristen Weiss came on, and she's with the Demand Project. And I've been up to Tulsa. I'm getting ready to go up to Tulsa again in a few weeks, and going to share at the I'm going to get it wrong, probably the University of Oklahoma. And then the next day, hopefully get to be with the Demand Project people, which is an awesome group of people in Tulsa. And then I believe I'm going to be able to be on the board of directors with them to help them with their cause and to help them serve their vision in that great state of Oklahoma. And another one that I had a guest on that I'm on the Survivor Advisory Council with. And I'm having a senior moment here. He'll come to me here in a minute. Maybe, maybe not. Street grace. Wow. That's what happens when you get turned 62. I turned 62 a couple of weeks ago. Street grace. I love street grace. And it is an honor to be on their Survivor Advisor Council. And that all came from the show, being having a program like this, inviting them on, meeting them at conferences, and then, hey, say, would you share your story on the program? And because of that, we have a lifelong commitment to each other. And I think that's what it's all about. 888-627-6008. I am pleased to announce, I'm thrilled to announce that my first book, Shattered by the Darkness, has been re-released. I told you that was coming up, and I want to tell you how to do this. If you're still looking on Amazon for this book that's brown and smaller, this book should not be on Amazon right now. Somebody is still selling this book at an unbelievable amount of money somewhere in Kentucky bookstore. I don't even know who's doing it. Do not buy this book, the same book, but a redesigned edition of it is this one, and it just came out. This is the one you don't want to buy, the brown one. You want to buy the blue one, and it came out on Amazon at number one when it came out on my birthday, July 25th. And of course, it's not number one now, but it came out at it hit number one, and then it went out of stock. And I've contacted them saying, hey, what's the deal? And they said, well, the algorithms and all that stuff makes it work. But if you would just go on site and look this up, I'm not asking you to buy it, but look it up, hit it, scroll down. And every time you think about the book, just look it up and see if it's in stock again. And I would love for those algorithms to be able to get back up to the top again. But this is one that I'm very proud of. And I believe this book has cleared more than 3 million. along with the other books, I believe, have totaled about 3.4 million copies around the world. And I love getting comments and people that want to talk about the impact of the book. It's not about money. It's not about somebody saying, "Oh, you're an author." It has nothing to do with that. It's all about making an impact. And how do you do that? As we move into this first section, I have two things I want to talk to you about. But how do you make an impact on people's lives without it negatively impacting you? So how do you give and give and give and still have enough left to live? I want to talk about that. But I also want to share with you, and I would love to have your input, 888-627-6008. I'd love to have your input to get your ideas because I am preaching to myself. I'm talking to myself. I'm counseling myself right now. And I wrote down the things that I thought was important, but I need to somehow get them tattooed on my heart and my mind so I will do them. Different ball game. And I'm always reading, always writing. I mean, good night. I wrote this in the last couple of weeks. Just to try to get what's in here and in here out on paper and hopefully into the hands of people eventually, maybe by Christmas. So there's two more books there. How do we keep our children safe? And how do we handle this in a proper way with our kids? And I've been writing on that, researching that, and I love doing that. I think writing and talking is probably the only two things that I've ever been given a blessing with in life. I can't do much else. I'm not good at driving a nail or working on a car or anything else. I can do laundry pretty good, wash dishes, take out trash, and I just did that. But rest of it, I'm not very good at. But I know how that I feel people need things to be able to help out. But sometimes I don't take my own advice. So I'm going to share this advice with you. Try not to be negative towards you. Remember, I'm pretending I'm looking in the mirror and saying, "Greg, why don't you do this?" So how do you create boundaries around you to make sure you're safe and to make sure that you're successful? Number one, if you're ready, let me take a swig of a nice cool drink of water here. Setting boundaries successfully. One, you have to be, and I've learned this the hard way, selective in your relationships. You have to surround yourself with people that uplift you. People that when they find out your worst fault, your biggest flaw, your most embarrassing attitude, and the real you, and you look around, they're still in the room next to you. Those are the kind of relationships that I need and I want. I'll get all kinds of people that'll gather around, and if I do what they ask me to do, they're buddies with Greg. "Hey, Greg," and they put their hand around your shoulder, and but in the other hand, they either have it like this, "What are you going to give me?" Or they have it like this, "Wait till you make a mistake, and I'm going to cut you and cut you deep." in the selective relationships, it's important that we keep the negative people away. Put a boundary, put a fence around it. I have had time after time after time, I have allowed people to come in to my mental office up here and defecate on it. Leave their junk in my brain and turn around and walk away. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to allow that anymore. Every now and then, they throw it at you and it splatters on you. But I'm going to border. And when that happens, I'm going to put a wall up. I'm going to say, hey, wait, keep your distance. I appreciate you. How can I help you? But I won't be talked to like that again. I won't be treated like that again. I won't allow that type of negativity to enter in to my ballpark. So if you don't like the rules of my ballpark, please take your glove and go to another ballpark. And I think we all need that. There's no reason in this world that is filled with hatred and crime and death and destruction that we can't be kind to each other. That's what trauma-informed community is all about. That's what trauma-informed sensitivity is all about. That's what trauma-informed medical help is all about when I train it with the doctors. You can't walk from one patient's room to the next, and the first patient upset the doctor, and the doctor take that agony and irritation to the next patient and expect the next patient to be able to handle that. That's not the way it works. We need to understand that everybody has their own load, and I need to be a little more selective in who I let set on my emotional front porch and have a drink of lemonade with me mentally and emotionally. And if you're not willing to drink that glass of lemonade with me peacefully, and all you want to do is tinkle in my lemonade, then sorry. I'm not going to invite you on my porch anymore. So please be selective in your relationships. And it's important because what it does, it allows me to keep them off at a distance and to maintain my own focus and own motivation. Now, it's amazing. LinkedIn is an awesome tool. That's just about the only social media that I have. Yeah, I'm on Facebook right now, but through the radio show. But I think even TJ and the BBS radio station, they have to post it for me. I don't do it. They do it. I don't even know how to get on my Facebook anymore as far as posts and all that. I don't even know what my login is. But LinkedIn, I'm on there, but I try to only find authors on there and people that have a story and contact them for the show. But it's amazing how people will, and I watch it, will praise people, but then also drag them down. Sometimes people are very good at blowing their own trumpet. Hey, look what I'm doing now. Look how good I am now. Look at this book tour now. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I don't do that. I'm not damning the people that do, but I think it's important that if I have a mission, and I have a calling, and I have a vision, and I have a purpose in my life, I will announce that and declare that and promote that by simply living that. I don't have to advertise. I don't have to promote it. Let's just help people. Let's just help people and be real and be down to earth to be able to do that. And people are in this world today are looking for authenticity, and they're looking for genuine people of uniqueness that care and love each other. And that's the people that I want in my inner circle. I want the person that on my very worst day is still standing beside me and they don't walk out the door. Be selective in your relationships. Wow, that took me 15 minutes and I have, I think, 23 points tonight. But anyway, there's one of them. So we may end up adding these for next week too. Another one. How do you create boundaries that can set you free or ease your tension? Saying no to non-priority task. Yes. Am I bleeding here because I'm biting my lip because this is about me? I say yes to almost everybody. I have a speaking calendar that is absolutely crazy. And the reason is, it's my own fault. Everybody that calls, everybody that emails, everybody that texts, I'll say yes. And then I'll try to figure out, how am I going to get from Orlando to South Padre Island and then back to Clint, Texas, and speak those 3 days, 1, 2, 3, and make it all work. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm in that mess because I never say no. So I'm talking to myself, but what about you? You need to say no to those non-priority tasks. And I'm not saying taking a speaking engagement is a non-priority task, because that is my calling. And when your time's limited sometimes, I think that may be more limited and than expected, and you never know, may get hit by a bus shortly. You just never know. But I just need to protect my time as much as I protect my wallet. Think about that. Do you protect your time as much as you protect your money? When you have your money and you have a money clip or whatever, you carry it with you. You're cognizant of where it's at all the time. When you miss it, you go running back. If you left it in a bathroom stall, if you left it at work, you immediately go, oh no, and you run back. With our time, we only get one chance to spend it. And sometimes we just throw it away at things that aren't in that same harmony with the music of our life. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but this is just coming to me as I'm talking. You know, I could go over here to my little grand piano right there and play a chord. And that's C chord, which is one of the first chords I learned. And run it all there, C, E, G, C, and play it with both hands. And then all it would take is for me to move that E to an F sharp and play that chord, and it'd be totally like, E, that's terrible. We do this with our time. We say yes to things that are out of harmony, and then it ends up causing us stress, because when we accept it or do it, we're like, why did I waste my time doing that for? So we need to protect that time and be ready to say no to a task, so I can stay aligned to my long-term goals. And it helps me keep out distractions. It helps me to stay on track. And it'll help you reach the goals. I've had so many people on this program and people that are watching. Let me see. Yeah. People that are watching tonight, and I don't want to offend them, but they told me, hey, Greg, I'm going to write a book. And it's hard. And 2 years later, they don't have chapter one done. At one time in their life, that was important to them, to share what they went through, to share their hurt and pain, to share how God got them through it, or how endurance and resiliency got them through it, or how love of a family got them through it, how they picked themselves up and made it. And there's other people in this world needing and wanting and craving that book, that message, that insightfulness. And I haven't got around to it. What are you doing? Well, I play golf every day, or I play video games. How, unless you're a professional golfer, unless you're a professional gamer that goes to Atlantic City and plays these big international gaming contests, how's that helping somebody? And all it takes is discipline. So I think we need to just say no to some of those non-priority tasks. Let me do one more before we take a break. This one steps on my toes and makes my toes bleed. Disconnect from work. I don't work for Baylor College of Medicine 8 hours a day. I work for Baylor College of Medicine 20 hours a day. Is that their requirement? No. That's me. I've got to stop that. I've got to disconnect from that. It eventually, after the years, it starts wearing. It starts tearing. It starts diminishing what my role is there for. And I like being dependable. And I like being reliable. And I like being responsive, as, you know, 24/7. They know if they text me or email me, within 2 minutes, they're going to get a response. And I think we just need to protect ourselves. And maybe you're guilty of this too. On vacation, checking emails. Your day off, checking emails. 4th of July, you're checking emails and responding. We need to do better than that. I need to do better than that. I want to make a commitment to disconnect from that. Not because I don't like Baylor. Matter of fact, the only reason I'm still at Baylor is because I love the family. Great people. Great leadership. The teams and the people that are down the hallway from me and across the hall from me, I just love them. And I look forward to being there every day. But I don't know if I want to bring them home with me anymore emotionally. I'm not for sure. I shouldn't disconnect from that. Because as soon as I'm off the show tonight, I will pop up my email and there they are. I need to do better than that. You guilty of that? Is that you? Or am I the only crazy one out there? I'm not calling you crazy because I know that's a word that we shouldn't be using. But I abuse that. And I allow myself to be abused. And every now and then, no, all the time, when you're doing something important with your family, when you're having dinner with your best friend or your spouse or somebody that you really want to get to know better, put your phone on do not disturb and leave it in the car. If you can't leave it in the car because you have kids and you want to make sure everything's all right all the time, that's fine. But don't be having a conversation and doing this during the conversation and never looking at it. They all deserve better than that. Put it on do not disturb. Tell you what, I've only made it through three. I'm going to take a break. We'll let TJ run this wonderful 1 minute and 3 second commercial, and we'll be back on the other side. And hopefully, we'll finish. How do we put boundaries around us that keeps us safe? If you want to call in 888-627-6008, I would love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Don't leave.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Sorry, I was just checking my work emails. No, I'm teasing you. No, I wasn't. I promise I wasn't. Welcome back. 888-627-6008. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear your comments. I would love to hear if anybody has something that resonates with them about this. And I so know how bad I am at certain things. I think when you've been abused in life, I think when you've gone through trauma, you are so focused on looking at the flaws, and then you magnify those flaws. So I'm really good at picking out what I don't do very well, and then try to help other people overcome it. And then I don't take my own medicine. Did I say that out loud? I guess I did, because it's the truth. And anyway, so you need to be really particular with your relationship picker, who you allow on the front porch of your life. You need to be able to say no to tasks that don't help you reach your goals. You need to disconnect from work and try. I have never done it. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Anybody that knows me can come and check my phone. I have never, and I have to discover, I'm sure on this setting someplace, there is a, under settings, a little thing of do not disturb. I don't know where it is, but I promise you, I'm going to find it. And periodically use that, because I think that's important. Drop my phone. I think that is important. Then another one, and it kind of goes along with this one from disconnecting from work. There needs to be a clear work-life separation. And this is so hard when you're in a calling that helps people. So if you're in one of these advocacy groups or nonprofits that counsels human trafficking survivors, or wants to be able to help people that are dealing with their worst type of pain at the time, and you're kind of on call 24/7. I take calls 24/7 around the clock. So it's hard sometimes to get that work-life separation when you're in the ministry. I don't have a 8 to 5 job at church. I have a 24/7/7. And matter of fact, when I go and if I go on vacation, I end up talking sometimes to church folks that need to talk more on vacation than when I'm in town. So some of these things are not black and white, but you have to be selective and you have to try to be careful because I have seen in my own personal life, and I always talk about things that are affecting me, that if I don't separate that work and life, I hurt family. I hurt the people that I love the most. And that's never my intent. I don't think there'll ever be a child that will hand me a Father of the Year award because, Dad, you helped other people. I will probably have children that will hand me not such a great Father of the Year award because I didn't help them when they needed it. Is that what I want my legacy to be? No. I'm not going to have a funeral, so I'm not worried about what's going to be said at my funeral. But I want my legacy to be, what kind of impact, what kind of heart did he have for not only strangers out in the world that need help, but people that are in my very house, people that are in my very life, people that I love more than anything in this world. How well did I take care of them? How much did they know that I truly care? And if you want to lean in and listen, you can. I'm failing at that. And I don't want to. And so I'm preaching to myself, there has to be clear work life. This is work. And I've done this very well at Baylor. They will tell you. Even though I've kind of violated my own time frame when I like to go in extra early, but it used to be around 2:24 in the afternoon, I would grab my briefcase and walk out. I've extended that again lately, and I'll stay till 3:30, then come home and get back on the texts and emails and still work. But I need to do better at, hey, what I didn't finish today, I'll start working on again tomorrow. It'll be waiting on, I promise you, it'll be waiting there on my desk when I get there in the morning. So why do I think I have to get it all done before I leave? Leave it and go. Don't leave it there and then end up mentally and emotionally taking it home with you. I've allowed that too many times, and I want to limit that. Strict work hours are maintained to ensure that my professional life don't encroach on my personal time or my family time. It has to be separate. I need somebody to be accountable to that with, and I want that to be my family. I want that to be the ones that I care about and they care for me. I want to be held accountable for that. Hey, Greg, you told us you weren't going to do that anymore. You're right. And put the phone down, put the work down. And the way to do that is probably to separate blocks of work and life. And if you have to, I've got a calendar around here somewhere. Put it on your calendar. Day off, date night. Movie night with family, whatever it is, and block those off, and then put the phone on do not disturb for the next 3 hours. If it's an emergency, you still have a way to make that work or jingle, I think. I don't know how the iPhones work, but I think they do. But block those times out and see if that doesn't help you. And I think in that area, boundaries. Well, Greg, I'm hoping you're listening to this. Boundaries are essential. And sorry for getting emotional there, but every now and then a tear will well up in my eyes when I think about how bad I've been with that. Prioritize. So this is another one. Why do I write this stuff down? Prioritize your health and sleep. I'm a day late, dollar short on all that, folks, but I'm smart enough to know that you need it. I'm smart enough to know that you need a good 7, 8 hours of sleep a night. You need good exercise. You need a good diet. You need to be able to take care of yourself, and you need those walks out in the park and out in nature to be able to know and simmer everything back down in your system. So good sleep, good nutrition, regular exercise. And the purpose of that is it keeps your mind sharp. It helps. All of that stuff that is released when you're doing all of those things, eating well, exercising, and sleeping proper, makes this work more efficiently. I have no idea what my brain would do on all of those three things in the maximum that it's supposed to have. I may be really nuts, or I may be brilliant. Who knows? I may not be as goofy as I am. I don't know. But anyway, I know for you. And I try to work on that. I am sleeping a little better. I still can't eat, so that's not my fault. I try. I'm going to try to get that taken care of this week a little bit better, more. But the exercise, no, I get my exercise. I walk from here to the refrigerator, and from my recliner to the refrigerator, and I'll do that about 10 times a night. And periodically, at my age, to the bathroom and back. That's about the only exercise I get. But you all know you need better than that. That's number four. Number five. This one's kind of interesting. Limit decision stress. And in that, by creating routines that minimize small decisions and allow the mental capacity to be saved up and stored up for the major decisions in life. This is how it works with me. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I could take this right now into my bedroom, since I don't sleep on the bed. I have laid out across the bed right now exactly what I'm going to wear tomorrow. I know exactly. I don't have to make a decision when I wake up in the morning. It is already decided for me. It's part of my routine, so I don't have to be stressed tomorrow whatsoever. When I go into almost every restaurant in Houston, Texas, and let me tell you, there's a lot of them, and there's some dandies I really, really love. When I go to Chuy's right down there off Kirby and Westheimer, love Chuy's down there. When I go down there, I know exactly what I'm going to get before my butt ever hits that booth. When I go into McDonald's or drive through McDonald's, I know exactly what I'm going to get. When I go through Chick-fil-A, I know exactly what I'm going to get. I've already have that in my mind. It's because probably I'm anal and I have OCD, but I limit. Okay, tomorrow morning, exactly at 6:28, I'll put my computer on lock and I'll take the elevator from the 10th floor to the third floor, and I will walk in and go through and get my same thing every single morning. It's because I'm stupid. I don't waste my time deciding on that stuff. I limit decisions so I have room capacity to make the important decisions. Try that. If you're stressed out in the morning with wondering how you're going to do your hair, when you have hair like mine, you just, hey, you know, whatever works. But you're stressed out about what tie you're going to put on or what dress you're going to wear or what shoes you're going to wear, try sitting out the night before and see if that doesn't allow your day to be a little more productive and not stress you out. At this point in life, I think the least amount of decisions that could already be accomplished before the at need, the better off we're going to be. And also, it allows the capacity for your mind to focus on the larger things in life. A couple more and I'm going to be done. I'm going to make it through the hour without anybody shooting me, but doggone it, nobody called. 888-627-6008. You can still jump in if you want to, and TJ will patch in. We need to create a way to recharge. Let me see what we got right here. Oh, I'm at 100. My iPad is at 80. My computer is at 62. There's a system, is there not? What is it? You plug it in. Have you ever bought, and I do this all the time, you buy those cheap chargers for your iPhone at Marshall's or Ross, or and it's not an iPhone Apple charger, and then it only works for a couple of weeks, and you put your phone on it, and then you pick it up in the morning and you run to a meeting or to work or whatever, and you look down and it's only 2%. You think, oh no. Every now and then, I've discovered that I look at my battery capacity emotionally, mentally, physically, endurance wise, and I am running low. And I'm talking about low, baby, way low. What's your game plan? How do you recharge? What do you do? Okay. Think about that for a second. Daily rituals help me reset what I need for the rest of the day. Before I doze off here for a while, I'll either mentally or physically write down three things that I want to accomplish tomorrow. I'll jot down some stuff in my journal. But I try to put this on a separate piece of paper. I want to make sure I accomplish this, this, and this. If not, then I won't have any priority of when I walk into the office and a doctor walks through and say, hey, Greg, can you help me with this? And it'll get me completely out of balance, out of whack. Or somebody will text me and say, hey, when you have a minute, can you call? I try to go, okay, here we go, and talk. And that goes an hour. And then by that time, the sun's already come up. People are already starting to come in the office. They're walking into the office. Doctor's needing something else. Somebody down the hallway's hair's on fire, and you got to put it out. And it starts getting us disorganized to where we don't know how we're going to be able to finish the day. And then we end up, listen to this, we end up making sure everybody else's to-do list is done except ours. What's the most? Okay. Not three. Two. Or maybe not even two. Tomorrow morning, what is your main thing that you want to accomplish, that you need to accomplish, that you are called to accomplish, that it will make your life better? It is one of those things that's attached to one of your goals in life. Is it watching TikTok? Is it checking your Facebook page? Is it answering emails from people that you don't even know? I'm on this syndrome now to where I get points for every receipt, and I got stacks of receipts, and you scan these. I don't just have one company I'm doing that with. I have six, and I'll sit in the corner and scan and try to get little bonus points. And then I let the very thing that is most important in my purpose in life to be put on the shelf. What's wrong? How distractful is people, our people, and this thing in our life? So just if you didn't hear anything in this whole hour, and I'm about ready to shut her down, in this whole hour, what is the one thing that you want to accomplish tomorrow? And think about it tonight. Put it in your notes on your phone, or write it on a piece of paper or a sticky note, and put it in front of you. And then when you get to the office, stick it to the screen on your computer and look at it, and then start. Now, I believe that we need to discover, what time is it? Okay, I got a couple minutes. We need to discover our sweet spot. Everybody, and if you're a golfer, and I can go get golf clubs, I got them in the office there, pull out that, and I can show you on a driver where the sweet spot is on the head of that driver. Where if that ball and that club hit there, you're going to get the distance, the velocity, the roll that you want to accomplish. And you want to try to hit that sweet spot every time. Same way with batters. I never was a good baseball player. I was in Little League, but that's about it. That's where it ended. But you watch professionals, you can tell, well, man, hit the spot and it's out of the park. What's your sweet spot? For me, it's 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. I get more accomplished in those 3 hours than most people get in their entire day. Huddle up. I've also found out through research that anesthesiologists, the people that put you to sleep during the operation, their sweet spot is early in the morning. They're awake, they've had their coffee, they're ready to get the job done, and their error ratio percentage is lower in the morning than it is after lunch. When I have a procedure done, when I have a surgery done, I want to be first on the block in the morning. I want that doctor coming in with that coffee in them, that Starbucks in them, and they're ready to hit the road going, and they're wide awake. I don't want them 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They go, okay, here, next, and bring them in, and then put me out. No. They found that that's their sweet spot. What's your sweet spot? And when you have that sweet spot, protect it and allow that to be your recharge. Because if you allow that recharge to be able to be in you and you accomplish a goal, it just brings productivity and imagination and positivity inside of you. And it allows you to walk out of your office at 10 o'clock in the morning, go zippity-doo-dah, this is a day because I accomplished those things already on my list. So people, go ahead and throw what you have at me. I've already focused on what I want and need and have been paid for and being expected to, because that's my job to get those roles done. I'll go get the mail or whatever later because I do that sometimes at the office too, but that's not what I'm hired for. I'm hired to do a task, and I want to make sure that gets accomplished first. How about you? And in that, it also makes you more resilient. And I'm starting to get the clock countdown. One more, and I'm done. We've already talked about it a little bit, but protect your mental space from negativity. Keep the news off. Never wake up, reach for your phone, and get on Facebook. Never wake up, reach for your phone, and get on the stock market, what it's doing in Japan. Personally, get up and fill your mind, your spirit, your soul, your heart with God's word, with positivity, with excitement, with something that helps fuel why you were created, and avoid gossip, avoid negative conversations, and please, for the love of Pistol Pete, please avoid, you ready? Drama. I hate drama. And it allows for more mental space to focus on growing. And you deserve it because you're valuable and you're special and you have a calling on your life. Thank you for being with me this hour. Join me right here next week as we celebrate 6 years of Breaking the Silence on BBS Radio. Next week, right here. I'd love to have you. If you need anything, reach out, 832-396-6525. And if my phone says, sorry, do not disturb, send it, and I'll get it when I get back online. See, I'm listening to my own wisdom. Have a great night. Have a great week. And may God bless you. And never forget, there's always hope. And never forget, stay out of the drama. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.